Friday, September 28th, 2012. This is Just Jenny. I'm Jenny Hutt. My microphone's definitely going to fall today, Holly. It's got the loose screw right now. It took me so long to get in today, people, that I literally, not literally, I almost literally got in the building and had to walk right into the studio, but I got to pee first. I fixed it. I think I'm good. I fixed it. Yeah. And waiting for me because she was prompt, probably because she's a doctor of psychology and wouldn't want to let me down in her psychological ways by being late, is Dr. Jen Berman. You guys probably know her from either VH1's Couples Therapy or from Cosmo Radio's Love and Sex Show with Dr. Jen Berman. And she's here with me now today, which is so fun. Hello.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here because I love to talk relationship issues. I love to talk about everything that's sort of the mind and the mind body. And just I like to talk in general. And my listeners love to get help. And normally I give advice, but your advice is probably often more sound because you're a doctor of the psychology, as I've said already.
Well, thank you. And I have to say, yeah, one of the things that I love about you when you do talk relationships is that you're always so honest about own relationship. And I think it's a gift to other women to not do that, oh, my life is perfect thing, which I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
I appreciate
that. Yeah, don't you think, and by the way, the number is 888-947-8277. And we've got to get into Couples Therapy on VH1. The second season's about to start. And we're hopefully going to be able to play a trailer for it if we can get the computer fixed, because Paul from the engineering department here is working so hard on it. And as he looks at his phone and doesn't work hard on it at all, which is cool. But before that, yeah, you're right about the relationship thing. And I've found it kind of maddening that many women are not open about the truth in their relationships.
I call it the myth of the perfect life.
Yeah.
And that a lot of the time, and especially now with Facebook, I think Facebook has taken that to a whole new level.
With the pictures of the huggy kissy, like, let me lean into you while you put your arm around
me. Exactly. We just get snapshots of the perfect moments of people's lives. And I think that women in particular project so much onto that we project onto the ring, we project onto the picture, we project onto a certain body type. We do just so much projection.
Right.
And the truth is, nobody has the perfect life. Everybody has pain. Everybody suffers. Everybody has their angst, you know, myself included.
Of course.
You know, nobody has the perfect life. And I think as women, it's so important to know, and I find it so refreshing when you talk about your own struggles.
Thank you. But you're right. That whole Facebook thing is weird because even when having a very happy, content, easy week, which happens almost never, I could go on and look and I could see those pictures and I will call my husband. I've talked about it on the show. I will call my husband and be like, why won't you take one of those pictures with me?
Yeah.
Why won't you do it? I want to put up one of those nauseating bullshit pictures of the two of us.
We're so in love. Our life is so perfect.
At all times.
I hate those pictures.
Constantly canoodling. and my husband will be like, honey, go find your canoodler who's willing to take the picture. Have a great time. And then we laugh because he's just not willing to do it. But it's true that I think Facebook has really done a number on people, because what happens is there's almost this continuation of relationships that should not have continued at all. We're supposed to move on from romantic relationships completely when it's over. But this has changed everything.
And at the very least, we're supposed to at least have a period of time. I always recommend after a breakup, because I get a lot of calls on Cosmo, we've just broken up, what do I do? How do I get through this? And I always say, you have to take time away, because when you break up, the primary goal, the primary task at hand is to work on breaking that attachment. You can't break that attachment and work on creating a friendship at the same time. Those two things are at odds with each other. Doesn't mean you can't be friends eventually.
Right.
But it does mean that for now, you guys have to work on being apart. And then at some point, look, to me, the litmus test is if you are single and he is not, and you would still want to hear about his girlfriend and go out to dinner with him, that means you can really be friends.
Do people ever really get to that place?
Yes, but it takes a long time. It takes more. It generally takes at least a year.
Because I would say there's certain guys from my past that I wouldn't be fazed if I watched them have sex with somebody. Like I have so
that's
little.
That's taking it to a whole other level.
Yeah, like I have no feelings at all. Yeah. No residual anything. And then there are others that I couldn't be around. Like I know I wouldn't be
even
comfortable.
Even to this day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And my husband knows that. I mean, we have conversations.
That's really interesting.
Because it's just honest. I just wouldn't like that feeling.
Yeah.
Just that feeling. Because sometimes wounds are harder to sort of heal than others. But I feel like Facebook puts things in people's faces.
Yeah. No, so. It does. It does. And it creates that myth. And I remember reading some study somewhere that said that women who are on Facebook more often tend to be more depressed. And I think that that's a big reason why.
Yeah, that could definitely happen. 888-947-8277. If you have a relationship issue, a life issue, Dr. Jen is here. She's happy to help. I'm happy to weigh in as well. And you're in New York also because you're promoting season two of Couples Therapy, right?
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
So tell everyone about the show.
The show is, it's really amazing. It's the same executive producers as Celebrity Rehab. So it has that same very real, gritty sense of itself.
I just did Dr. Drew's show last week.
Terrific.
Yeah, I love him.
And it is five celebrity couples in a house with me doing intensive therapy, couples therapy, group therapy, individual therapy, family therapy, exercises. It's a very, very intense, very real experience. It is not at all scripted. And I think that that's something that has always surprised cast members, especially members who have come from other shows that are reality shows where they were more scripted or they were directed to do
because
things.
Because often reality shows, right, are
this
set
is
up.
Not that. This okay. is this is very, very real.
And how do these couples get to you?
Through VH1 okay. and through the production company and all that sort of stuff.
Okay. And so there's five couples. They live in a house together. And it's not a game show. It's just they're all trying to work on.
Everyone is there to work on their relationship. At this season, four out of five of the couples were married, which is very different than last season.
Okay.
Which added a different dynamic. And really, this group, the dynamics were so different than last season. Everything from even just when last season, when the couples walked in to group, everyone sat in the same chair each time.
Right.
Whereas this season, they mixed it up. Sometimes they would sit down and then a couple would be like, I want to sit in that chair. And they would like switch chairs. Like it was such a different group. Last season, I had to really encourage the couples to sort of crosstalk and to share their experiences and stuff. And they were all they were super supportive of each other. And when they were not in couples therapy, they hung out together. At the end of the show, they took a vacation together.
Wow.
They just like loved each other.
Yeah.
Whereas this season, they walked into the house, a fight broke out. Like, I mean, stuff went
totally
down
different.
That it shocked me. And where it was a very different dynamic in the house.
I think if I were in the house, I would definitely sit in the same chair all the time.
Me
I'm
too.
I'm a very habitual person. Like when I go to the gym, I have to have the same bike. I have to always, I'm weird like that, but maybe not. I guess some people are. Like,
yeah, no, you. I'm the same. I'm a creature of habit. And it's funny because last season when people would say to me, who's on the show? I would always think of the group and I would kind of go around the room. And this season, sometimes I'll forget a cast member because I go around the room and everyone's at someplace different.
Right. It's jolting almost.
It is.
Let me go to, Sam is not yet on hold. I have Sam. She has a relationship question for you. And since you're here, did we get the audio to work yet or you couldn't figure it out? But he left the room, Paul, the engineer. Oh, great. 888-947-8277. Let me go to Sam in California. Please say hi to Dr. Jen Berman and check out her website, which is
drjen.com, spelled out DOCTORJEN.com. And you can also see the super trailer for VH1 Couples Therapy on my homepage.
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
Hence the directing them. Hey, yes. Sam, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
My husband works out of the house. And it creates for kind of a really tough situation.
Oh, you mean he works in the house?
Yeah, he works in the house.
That's what you mean by out of the
business.
House. Right, got it.
Yeah. So the whole day runs in, and there's no separation for time, let's say, that, you know, family time, house time. And I've recently quit my job, and it's really frustrating to be around that. And I'm just thinking I made a huge mistake by doing that.
By quitting your job or by having him work from home?
By having him, by quitting my job and having him work from home. We don't get separation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always anxious when he's at home because I don't know how to live my life with this person always at home working.
Does he have a separate room that he works in?
Yes, except there's no door to the room.
Okay, can you put a door on that room? Because he needs a boundary, you need a boundary. I think that it's not just physical, but it's also emotional. I think closing the door also indicates for you psychologically, okay, he's in his office, he's at work. It's the equivalent of him being sort of off in some office. I think that that's actually really important. Also, that way you don't have to hear him talking on the phone all the time and doing his business.
Unfortunately, his attitude is the whole house is his office. Well, that's his attitude.
And is that his attitude in general in the relationship, where he feels that he comes first and that other people's comfort is not as important?
Because, ew.
No. That's not his general attitude.
Okay, well, that's a good sign.
But when it comes to working, that is his general attitude, that he is first. When it comes to working, he is first.
And I'm assuming since you quit your job that he's a primary bread earner.
Yes, and he does very well. So, I mean, he's always says you should be grateful.
Okay, but then here's what I recommend you do. Have a conversation with him that starts with how grateful you are.
Right, always, by the way. Isn't that always good when you're going to criticize to first start with the positive?
Yeah, start with the positive, then the meat, and then something positive. I want for you to start the conversation by talking about how grateful you are and how hard he works and how beautiful that is and how much you appreciate that. And then what I want for you to do is to say, I know it's been challenging for me having you work at home, and it's probably been challenging for you in some ways with me being home all the time, and I don't want to get in your way. And I find that sometimes it's a little hard for me without those boundaries. Let's talk about how we could organize it so that you can work and not be interrupted, and that I could have sort of a little more space in the house. I want to make sure that obviously you come first. You're supporting our family, but we need to come up with a system that is better so that we're not interrupting each other and stepping on each other's toes, and then go back to the positive.
Right, like, because after you do that, I'm going to want to have sex with you all the time.
Or even, I'm just so grateful that you work so hard, and that makes me want to have sex with you all
the
time.
Absolutely, that's right.
Exactly.
What do you think about that, Sam?
I have done that, but like I said, this is not a person that works a 9-to-5 job. This is a person that's working
all the time. But Sam, can I tell you something? I feel like in today's world, most of us who work 24 hours. And so I think Dr. Jen is giving you terrific advice that to set up the physical boundary, and that'll start to create the emotional boundary as well.
And also, you may have had a conversation with him that's similar to what I said, but I want to make sure that when you have it again, that you do that sandwich technique, that you start with the positive, then you make your request, and you do it in a way that's not aggressive, that's not critical, and then you end with the positive. I think that you will end up with it with a better result.
Good luck, Sam. Thank you for calling. Thanks. And by the way, Dr. Jen, I think that's such good advice because it is all in the delivery.
It's so in the delivery. You can say the same thing in 10 different ways and get 10 completely different responses from your spouse.
You're so right. And that happens with with your children.
Yep.
It's the same thing pretty much with everybody. If you start it with a positive, then you smack them with the negative, and then you bring it home with the positive.
Yeah.
You're going to have a much better reaction.
And even the negative doesn't have to be negative.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of the time, someone will call on my show and say, I need to confront this person.
Yeah.
And, like, you don't need to confront them.
The
you actually need
word,
to have a productive,
like,
conversation. Yeah. Confront is so aggressive.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm going to tell you what you're doing wrong, as opposed to, let's talk about this. Let's process it.
Right.
Let's come to a solution that works for both of us.
Yeah, I like that. 888-947-8277. We're going to talk more about couples therapy. We're going to get the audio working so I can play the trailer. It's on VH1. The new season starts what date?
October 3rd, which is Wednesday.
Okay.
And it's 10 on the East Coast and the West Coast.
Perfect. And then you could go to drjen.com, and that's drjenn.com, to see
you're
the
so
trailer
good.
If you're by a computer. I know. That's one of my few gifts. Let's go to Dana in Washington. Hi, Dana. You're on the air with me and with Dr. Jen Berman.
Hey,
Dana.
My husband and I have been married for 8 years, together for 10. I travel for work about 8 nights a month. I'm all nervous.
Mm-hmm.
But I will text him at night and say, you know, good night, sweetie. Hope you have a great night. And this happens pretty much every time I travel. He does not text me back. Still in the morning, he won't text me back, and he is, don't text the drive. He won't text me while I'm driving and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's at night when I'm in my hotel room, and obviously I'm not driving. And then, you know, he seems to work late. Just like once or twice while I'm gone traveling.
And what is the reason when you say to him, hey, how come you're not returning my text till the next day? What's his response?
When it's during the day, it's because I'm driving, you know, but at night, he's just like, I didn't feel like it. you know.
I didn't feel like it. To me, that's passive aggressive.
Yeah, kind of.
I'm wondering if he's angry or if he's having a hard time with you traveling.
You know, and he was the breadwinner of the family. Now I am because he got laid off.
He's having a hard time.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's having a hard time.
I find this happens with men. Like, there will be times that my husband will say to me, honey, go, I want you to go do, please stay out, go business stuff. He'll stay with our kids at night, whatever. And then I'll be out because I'm working till, let's say, 12 or 1, and I'll come home. And I know on the way home, I'm laughing to myself that he'll be asleep and that in the morning he's going to give me the business of, so you were out all night while I was home, because he misses me and he doesn't want to be upset that I was gone, because he really means
he wants to support what you're doing.
He really means it. He really does support me. I'm lucky in that way. But men, they get this feeling of, where's my woman?
And also, here we have a man who has lost his job,
right,
which is a blow to the ego.
Right.
It's a blow to his identity. It is a shift in your relationship as a couple. It's financially stressful. Most guys can't be out of work for more than a couple days without hitting a depression.
Right.
He's working, but it's not, you know, he's making way less than what he was, and it is a blow to his ego. I know that.
Is he working one job, or is he, like, working jobs here and there?
He's working one job. And it's just odd because he only works really late. Like, he didn't get home until 7 last night. And I'm like, that's odd because he cleans blinds.
You mean 7 at night? Just like 7 p.m.?
7 p.m.
He cleans blinds? Like at people's homes?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Are you at all concerned about him having an affair?
I am, and that's why I'm like, why, you know, he only works late when I'm gone. But when I'm home, he's always home. I know, and then he won't respond to my text messages.
What does your gut instinct tell you?
That he is having a small affair, because
who do you think it is?
Honestly, either his ex-wife that just recently, you know, became single. And her and I have always been fairly close as well. But
I'm a big believer in trusting your instincts.
Yeah, me too.
I know, it's my gut feeling.
And you didn't hesitate when I said who.
No,
you said
she
either
didn't.
It's, and you said his ex-wife, and you were going to say someone else, but you think it's her. So the question
either
is,
somebody,
what do you want to
work like an office lady or something? But
what do you want to do about this?
See, I don't know, but I know if I ask him, you know, he'll just tell me that I'm, you know, being paranoid and I need to stop it because. You know, there for a while I was getting very insecure when I was traveling because I was just, you know, I'm a wife and a mother and I'd rather be home. But, you know, right now I can't be.
Sure.
Where are the kids when he's out till 7?
She's at home.
Your kids are at home alone when he's out till 7?
Just 1.
How
old?
Yeah,
just one. She's 10.
She shouldn't be home alone at 10.
Not till 7.
I mean, if someone calls the Department of Children's Services, she'll be taken away.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about your state, but in mine, she would be.
Not in our state. Yeah. Not in our state.
Yeah, no, a 10-year-old should not be home alone. That is not safe. That is dangerous.
I agree.
And if he is going to be out working or out having an affair, then there needs to be a babysitter or a grandparent or someone who comes in.
See, and I've offered that too, you know, for him, because my best friend is she'll definitely watch.
Here's what I think. I think you've said a few different things here, but the most important thing that you've said is that your daughter is suffering from this,
right?
Because she's being left alone, which is negligent, which is unsafe, which is dangerous.
Yeah, and she comes first.
Yeah,
yeah. Providing for her, and when I say providing, I mean providing an adult who is in the house to watch her is more important. So if you're going to be traveling,
right,
perhaps there's some other family member that she can stay with if he is not willing to be there for her. But you need to really hit home with him,
right,
that it is not acceptable to leave a 10-year-old at home alone.
That's
if something
one.
Happens, if she chokes, if there's a fire,
exactly.
You know, if she has to get out of the house, she can't drive.
Right.
She is not equipped to handle that kind of responsibility, nor should she have to.
Yes.
Especially when he is home.
Yeah, so that's number one.
He needs to be a father.
And then you'll find out. Then from there, you could figure out why he's not home till 7 at night. But deal with your daughter and her safety first. And then I think, like Dr. Jen just said, you pretty much know what's going on, and now you have to figure out how you want to react to it. Thank you so much for calling, because isn't that also one of the key things in life, is how we respond to what we know?
Absolutely. And I think that sometimes we get information like her,
yeah,
where we have a feeling, and as women,
awful.
Especially,
I
our
know.
Gut instincts are really,
so
really
bad.
Good.
I know.
And she, the minute I said, she was like, yeah, I think he is, and this is who he's having it with, which leads me to believe that
she knows.
Yeah. That it's probably happening.
Oh, that's incredible.
And
painful.
It's hard because we want to put our head in the sand. Nobody wants to have to face that. It's so painful. It's
right.
So heartbreaking to have to look at your marriage and pull yourself out of denial.
But have you found that there are couples that do survive the infidelity to really have a normal marriage?
Absolutely. Not only are there couples who survive an infidelity and have a normal marriage, there are couples who, in the end, utilize it to have a stronger marriage.
How so?
Because
they become more open?
Because they realize what they almost lost.
Mm.
They realize what they need to do to protect their relationship. They realize what they did wrong. Because, look, the affair is not the problem.
No, it's
the symptom. Exactly.
Yeah.
And
right.
It's... you have to look at what were the cracks in the marriage
that
made you vulnerable to
right,
this affair. Because look,
the
truth is, everybody's vulnerable.
Of course.
You know, anybody can have
that's
affair. Anybody is
yeah.
capable. And at the same time, there are times when we are far more vulnerable. And every relationship goes through difficult periods and gets into bad habits. And for couples who are able to have an affair and get back together and survive it and actually work on their relationship,
right.
Oftentimes they're stronger.
Yeah, I think you're right about the vulnerability thing and the cracks thing, because I've found, I mean, it always goes back to the sort of the denial and the sanctimonious nature of some people that, I mean, when I see a couple and the husband won't admit that other women are attractive or the wife can't admit that she could have a fantasy life, I'm like, wait, are you dead or are you married?
Yeah,
like,
but also to me, you know, Carl Jung talked about the shadow, and he said that sort of the things we deny about ourselves.
Yeah.
When they go underground, they become far more dangerous because we either end up acting them out,
right,
or they just sort of, they get bigger and bigger.
I get
and
that,
bigger.
And they get more powerful because you're denying them, you're suppressing them, and they grow.
You're only human. Just because you're married doesn't mean you're not going to be attracted to other
I
people.
Know.
It's the behavior that matters. It's not the thinking. It's the behavior.
Correct. All right. Let me go to Augustus in Ohio. Hi, Augustus. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you, lady?
I'm good. Thanks.
Good. Real quick. So I've been dating the lady off and on for the last several years. Terrific woman. I feel we complete each other in a myriad of ways. She's going through some health issues, like with her thyroid, and she's going through she's suing like her partners that she, you know, opened a business with. So, you know, she has some things going on. With that said, and like I said, I like this woman a lot.
I can hear that.
But we're not officially boyfriend, girlfriend, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Yet she's really possessive. If she even thinks, you know, I may be doing something with another woman, she really gets really possessive and angry.
Mm-hmm. How long have How long have you been dating? And what does her angry look like?
She'll question it like, well, you know, like if I get a text or something, well, who is that? You know, who's texting you at 11? It may be one of my buddies or whatnot. But her inclination is, okay, is that a woman? I'm like, no. And I even show her the text. I'm like, look, it was, you know, Jeff or whomever.
How long have you been dating?
And why isn't your phone on silent? Rule number one for creeping. What?
This Bluetooth is horrible. I'm on Bluetooth.
How long have you been dating this woman?
Man, probably off and on last several years.
Several years?
Yeah.
And no one's a boyfriend, girlfriend? There's no commitment?
Well, background, if I give you the background history, it'll make this conversation longer. But we've been, you know, steadily, like, for the last 9-10 months, like, throughout the years, it's never been, you know, a consistent 9-10 months.
Let me ask you
like
something. When
now.
You were together initially, did she find out you were seeing someone at the same time, and that sort of makes her think that's always going to be the case?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so.
Yeah. Look, if you want her to not worry, if you want her to be secure, then... Be in a committed monogamous relationship with her. Lock this shit down.
Correct. Like your phone.
I am. And that's where I'm at. But, you know, she, like I said, she has these health concerns, you know, health issues. And,
yeah, but even more, that's why she needs that reassurance even more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Show her the commitment.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right. And I've been there for the entire way.
Good.
Okay. Stay and now commit. Them.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
you got it. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's the other thing. Why is it so hard often for men to just say what the woman needs or wants to hear? Sometimes I think it's so hard for them to say what we want. What is that?
Well, I think he didn't know. I think he was kind of confused. And I think there was this cycle being created where she was feeling insecure and acting that way, which probably made it harder for him to want to commit because nobody wants to commit when someone's acting jealous and crazy.
Right.
And, you know, she's acting jealous and crazy because she needed a commitment. So it creates that circle. But generally, from what I see, it takes men longer to attach. But once they attach, it takes them longer to let go.
After a breakup, men
tend to grieve much longer and much harder in a certain way than women.
Right. We're sort of built to survive anything.
And I think also women tend to mourn the loss of a relationship while they're in the relationship, whereas men tend to do it afterwards.
Right. We let go as it's crumbling.
Yes.
And then we start to mourn it and mourn it and mourn it. And then there's still a period, but then, yeah. It's
and I can't
not
tell you how
bad.
Many times in my practice where I've had a couple come in where the woman's saying, like, this is not working for me. I don't know how much longer I can do this. And when the day comes where she says, I'm done, the guy oftentimes looks at me and is like, where did this come from?
Right. Yeah.
As if we hadn't been sitting there for weeks or months and it's kind of
how dire something is.
Yeah. Men react very differently than women, typically.
So interesting. 888-947-8277. I want to go to break so we can reset the board, see if we can get the audio to work from couples therapy. During the break, please go to drjen.com. That's drjenn.com so you could see the trailer for couples therapy on VH1 beginning October 3rd. At 10 p.m. on VH1, wherever you are, although Central is probably at 9, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And I'll be right back. Dr. Jen Berman's going to stay with me. You can hear her every night on Cosmo Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, live. She takes calls on relationships. Good stuff. She's good at her job because she's really a psychologist and a doctor of psychology. All right. Going to break, and I will be right back. Please stay tuned.
More Jenny coming up on Sirius XM Stars.
Most parents aren't aware that their child is one of the top targets for identity theft. Now you can do something about it free. Our friends at Identity Guard have just released a new book, Bankrupt at Birth, Why Child ID Theft is on the Rise and How It's Happening Under Parents' Noses. To celebrate the book launch, they've created a Child Identity Theft Protection Information Kit, which is filled with information and resources to help protect your child. There is so much in this kit. You have to see for yourself at fastprotectionnow.com. The only thing more important than protecting your identity is protecting the identity of your children, and now you can. Get protection for your child with KidSure. Try it for free, act now, and you can get help for yourself, too. Free. It's fast and easy. Go to fastprotectionnow.com. That's fastprotectionnow.com.
Just Jenny. That's all. Right here on SiriusXM Stars.
Hey, okay, I'm back. Dr. Jen Berman is here. I think we have, you're going to pull this up, right?
I'm going to work on it.
All right, she's going to work on pulling up a trailer for couples therapy. And then later in the show, I need to play. I spoke to Lauren Dean. She's, because of the whole Frisky Friday, F Me Friday stuff, she's one of those erotica authors. And she's the first one I had ever read. I like came across, I got a Kindle. It like showed up as a book I should try, which was, I don't know why it showed up. I do know why, advertising or whatever they do on Amazon. And it was the first dirty book that I had read. And I thought it was the craziest thing. I was like, oh my God, this is what they do in books now on Kindles. And that was long before 50 Shades. That was like 2 years ago.
I remember you had recommended a book to me.
Yeah, I recommended maybe her books because that was, oh, we have to leave that early. So maybe we have to push it to Monday. Okay, will you let her know? Because I feel like I keep telling her we're playing it and then we don't play it. And then I'm like, I feel horrible. Okay, so we'll play it on Monday. Fine, I'm not going to play it today because I'd have to end too soon. Okay, 888-947-8277. Did you get it to work?
I think so.
Okay, so let's put this by the microphone. This is the trailer for Couples Therapy on VH1 starting October 3rd, 10 p.m. East and West, 9 Pacific. Wait for it.
Is it going to play?
Wait for it. Gianna Maselli is freaking out that we're together on Twitter. She listens to you and listens to me. That's cute. She's cute. Hello, Gianna.
Give me one more. All right, then I'm going to
a call because these people need help. Okay. Hi, Nina. I'm from Long Island, like you.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Okay. I have been in a relationship with a man on and off for 7 years, on and off because we would fight and then not speak to each other. We dated in between. We always loved each other, which sounds so odd. But being that we both came from divorces, we had to be certain about what we were doing or we had to move on. Anyway, the last time we broke up is because he wanted a commitment and I wasn't ready. Anyway, we were apart for a year. Then 4 months ago, I contacted him by email and said I was ready for commitment. I missed him. I want him back and I'm ready. He took me back. We've been together for 4 months and we recently broke up, which is so ridiculous because he thinks we argue, not that we are, the way we argue, I feel like he thinks that couples are never going to argue, like we can't argue.
But it sounds like you guys don't know how to fight fairly. It sounds like your arguments are not productive.
Yes.
You're absolutely
right.
Couples need to know how to negotiate. They need to know how to handle conflict. But it sounds like the two of you don't know how to do that.
Yes. What do we do?
Can I ask you what the fight was about this time at the 4 month mark?
Oh my God, it was like nothing. It was stupid.
Well, what was it? Because usually stupid means that something underneath it is bigger.
Well, we were talking about our ex-spouses, which makes us both upset, which we should know not to talk about.
Interesting that you bring that up because I do want to ask. I wanted to ask Dr. Jen about that. I wanted to ask Dr. Jen about that, how much we're supposed to talk about our past with our present.
Well, clearly we should let it go. We both agree. I mean, I know that. But it's like
I'm going to give you a very simple technique that is really helpful. Okay. And then I have an ebook coming out soon that's all about fighting fairly.
You're like a mogul, Dr. Jen. I love it.
Oh, thank you. But it's a topic that's come up so much. I felt like I had to write something and it's short, but I think it's very, very needed. What I'd like for you to do is typically what happens when two people argue is that, okay, Jenny and I are sitting here arguing.
Yeah.
Jenny's talking to me, and I'm thinking in my head, she's wrong, and I'm going to tell her why she's wrong, and I'm constructing in my head my argument with her, and I'm not really hearing her. And then she does the same with me. What I'd like for you to do is the next time you guys argue, instead of doing that, I want for you to really listen to him, and then I want you to repeat back to him what he said in your own words. So let's say Jenny just said, I hate
it
when you leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Let's role play.
Yeah. Tell me something awful I did.
No, how about that I was late? So you could yell at me for being late. Go ahead.
So, you have to have the problem and then
I'm
going to reflect.
Oh, I have the problem. Right. You're going to reflect.
I left my underwear on the floor.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't. You keep leaving your underwear on the floor. It's gross. I don't want to touch your underwear. Take care of your freaking underwear. I'm not your underwear picker-upper.
It sounds like it really bothers you when I leave my underwear on the floor and you want me to stop doing that. It's really driving you crazy.
Yes, it's really driving me crazy.
Okay,
let's make up now.
And do you see how, like, she felt heard? And that's the thing. When we have arguments, it's a very magical experience to have that sense of he hears me, he gets me, he may not even agree with me, but he gets what I'm saying. And that's something that can really change your fighting and your fighting style and make it more productive. And you can even ask him to do the same for you.
What if I do it and he doesn't, or says, if I have to be like that, it's too much work. It shouldn't be that much work.
Relationships are hell of a lot of work.
Yeah,
so get used to it.
Yeah.
If you want one, you got to work your ass.
I'm so glad you just said that.
Once you get past the honeymoon period, it's work.
And by the way, I really believe that we can't go into relationships having expectations that our partners are going to behave the way that we're going to behave.
Yeah.
You got to make it a functioning dynamic between the two of you.
And if you wait for the other person to change,
You're gonna wait forever.
Yeah, you're gonna be shit out of
luck.
Yeah, you know it's be the leader in your relationship. There is a lot to be said about being the one who says, you know what, it doesn't matter what he does, because look, wherever you go, there you are. Let's say you even leave this relationship. If you're with someone else, this ability to listen this way and to talk this way will help you in any relationship you're in, whether it's a friendship or a romantic relationship or a family, whatever it is, this will help you no matter what. So think of it as working on yourself.
I get that. I understand because I've researched a lot. I'm very interested in psychology.
So then what is it? So what's the issue for you?
He is a hard head. I don't know what I can
say
to him.
Okay, Nina, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Do you feel like if you reached out to him and said, okay, let's try again. I love you. We keep butting heads. I don't want to. You matter so much to me. I really want to make it work. Do you think he'd be open to a conversation?
Well, I feel like we did that last time we had a fight a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, but let's leave that alone. That's over.
Okay.
So let's talk about today.
But he's going to say, I did that. He'll probably say, I did that already, and it's enough already.
Well, does he want out for real?
Well, he says he loves me, and I believe him.
But love's not enough. Love is not enough.
Right. Does he love you, want to be
with you? My mom was wrong. Love does not conquer all.
I know. Your parents.
Yeah.
Boy, we got to get into that, too. Her parents are – do you guys know that her parents are, like, the most talented songwriters, like, ever? Do you know that?
But we digress.
It's true, but we digress. It's true.
Yeah, but love doesn't conquer all. It takes hard work to make a relationship.
Yeah.
And you have to figure out, is this a guy whose hard-headedness makes it impossible to have a relationship with him? And if that's the case, then stop going back and forth.
Right.
He either needs to work on his stuff and become a better partner. And if he's not willing to do that and this isn't working, then it's probably not going to work as much as you love each other. You guys could probably benefit from a few sessions with a really good couples counselor who can teach you how to fight fairly. I would definitely recommend it for you guys if you're going to continue.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
He could call. When are you guys accepting calls? Because I would really, if I can get him to call, that would
be
awesome.
Get him to call right now. Would he be willing to call in? Call him. Tell him to call in.
Well, he's working right now.
Well, Dr. Jen is on Cosmo.
I'm on 5 to 7 on Cosmo Radio. Maybe
Pacific
you guys could call in together.
But not that Eastern time, you're later.
That's West. Yeah, 8 to 10
8
East.
To 10 here, Nina, at night.
Yeah.
So okay, I'm on East Coast. So what time Eastern? I'm sorry.
8 to 10 on Cosmo Radio.
109.
Yeah.
On XM?
Yeah, and maybe you guys could even call in together. We could do a little couple session on the phone together.
Oh, that would be great.
Okay.
Good luck, Nina.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks
for calling.
Bye-bye.
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 Okay, I got the trailer. I'm gonna now play
30
seconds of Couples Therapy on VH1. Coming to you October 3rd is the premiere of season 2. Here we go. Wait, is it going to go now? Now it didn't work again.
To fix their relationships.
I get it. I got it.
Cut that out.
It's killing your marriage.
They're going to have to fix themselves.
Fine.
I don't think it's fine. Because you drank yourself into the hospital 5 days ago.
Hi.
Oh, my God.
Did you just call my wife trash?
But she's weird, bro.
You know what?
Oh, boy.
Why didn't you say to her, let's wait until you're 21?
I didn't want to.
Couples Therapy, new season premieres Wednesday, October
3rd. Ew, he's so gross. Oh my God. How old are they? How old is that couple?
Courtney Stodden was 16 and he was 50. Doug Hutchinson was 50 when they married. She turned 18 a week after we finished filming and he's 52.
That to me is too big an age difference.
I understand.
You understand my concern?
I do. I really do. I had many, many of my own going in. It was something, truthfully, I struggled with a lot.
Yeah.
as someone who, I'm a feminist, I'm a women's advocate, and it really, I struggled a lot. And I talk about it on the show with them. I talk about it just sort of when I talk about what the experience is like of treating them. And at one point, I sat down with them. I said, you know, I feel like I don't want to contribute to the exploitation of a minor. And if I feel at some point that I'm contributing to that, I'm going to ask you guys to leave.
Good.
And a lot of this makes me really uncomfortable. But ultimately, what I realized is that this is a legally married couple who has problems and genuinely needs couples therapy. And I had the opportunity to provide it for them.
And help them.
Absolutely. And while I don't agree with all of their decisions, his in particular, and I do, I found that I really grew to like Doug a lot. And it was kind of a running joke at the end of the season. I said to him, you know, I really like you despite myself. And he looked at me and goes, yeah, Doc, I really like you despite myself too.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, I feel like there's times in life where an age difference, a big age difference, doesn't matter so much. If a woman is past a certain age, then it's not as big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But 17 years old, 16 years old, 18 years old, forget about the legality of it. I think that's a child. I look at 18-year-olds as children.
Absolutely. And it brings up a lot of issues in their marriage on so many levels. And Courtney dresses extremely provocatively, which became a huge issue in the house as well, that people react very strongly. They walked into the house and people had huge reactions. I mean, a fight broke out. Literally, they walked into the house and a fight broke out. I couldn't believe it. As I was watching, I thought people are going to think we scripted this. Like, I can't believe that this is happening. And it was, her dress is so provocative that it triggers a lot of sort of really dark shadow stuff in women and in men.
Which I understand because women, because women can react to how other women look. And other women portray themselves and other women's sexuality and other women. Yeah,
very much so. Yeah. And I think it is, you know, I think that we all have an inner Courtney Stodden. And I think that we have to befriend our own Courtney when it comes to our sexuality and our sensuality and all of that. And at the same time, there were genuine concerns in the house. And when people got past their huge reactions and were able to voice that in a productive way. And also it became clinically relevant, you know, with my work with Courtney. How is your dress affecting the way people react to you and the way you believe the world reacts to you? Because her big platform is bullying.
Right.
And she was bullied. And then I had to talk to her a lot about how do you think your choices are affecting the way people are treating you that is upsetting you.
Right.
So it was very interesting.
The show's going to be good.
Oh, yeah, and we have... From Housewives of New York, we have Alex McCord and Simon Van.
Yeah, by the way, he to me seems not so interested in women, but I'm wrong.
You're wrong. You're wrong. They're
I've only seen a few of the Housewives.
They're a very, very interesting couple.
Yes.
And they're very volatile. And talk about a couple who doesn't know how to fight fairly. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a couple who is volatile, is aggressive, hits below the belt, sometimes the way they talk to each other, I almost fell off my chair a couple of times, and it progresses so quickly. And they've been married for 12 years. They have two kids, so they have a lot of history together.
Of course.
And we have JoJo of JoJo and Casey, who sang the song All My Life, and his wife, Tiny, who you heard me talking about his drinking. And then
because you can't land in the hospital from drinking. That is too much.
He drank himself into the hospital. He
had
pancreatitis. And then we have Too Short, the rapper, and his girlfriend Monica.
Okay. And so we have a Tiny and a Too Short.
Yes, we do. Tiny,
Too
Short.
I fit in that show because I'm short.
And as am I.
Yeah.
And then we have Shane Lamas, who's Lorenzo Lamas' daughter, who also won, I think it's like season 16 of The Bachelor, and her husband Nick Ritchie, who has the website TheDirty.com, which is one of the top five gossip sites.
Okay.
And that brings on a whole, his work is a huge issue. I mean, his blog is very controversial. It's very nasty.
Right. I can understand that because you have to, I have another read. Super. I could see that because if the couples, if your work, because I have to be careful of that with my work because my work is so much my personality, my life, that my husband, I clear everything with my kids and my husband before I post anything about them. Because otherwise it's invasive to them. It's not right.
And he's not writing about his family, but he is writing. He has on part of his site, he has something called Would You, where people write in and say, like, would you have sex with this person? Would you?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And his wife reads it. Yeah. And it was a huge issue in their marriage.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, she's pretty liberal with that stuff. But there are times where he crossed the line and there are things that he wrote in graphic detail, which we talk about on the show.
Right.
And how she reacted.
Yeah.
And I think it was also one of the great things, the magic of group therapy, is to see how other people react. And I think for him to see how the other women in the room reacted was a good reality check.
I could see how that would be. All right, I think I have to go to break because I was handed a sheet of paper, which means I have to take a break. Then I'll come back. You're sticking around. Dr. Jen Berman is here. Please go to drjen.com during the break. It's spelled out drjenn.com. Actually, see the 4-minute trailer to Couples Therapy beginning again on VH1 October 3rd, 10 p.m. East and West, 9 Pacific. I'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
More Jenny coming up on Sirius XM Stars.
Most parents aren't aware that their child is one of the top targets for identity theft. Now you can do something about it free. Our friends at Identity Guard have just released a new book, Bankrupt at Birth, Why Child ID Theft is on the Rise and How It's Happening Under Parents' Noses. To celebrate the book launch, they've created a child identity theft protection information kit, which is filled with information and resources to help protect your child. There's so much in this kit. You have to see for yourself at fastprotectionnow.com. The only thing more important than protecting your identity is protecting the identity of your children, and now you can. Get protection for your child with KidSure. Try it for free. Act now, and you can get help for yourself, too. Free. It's fast and easy. Go to fastprotectionnow.com. That's fastprotectionnow.com.
Just Jenny. That's all. Right here on SiriusXM Stars.
So I'm here with Dr. Jen Berman. You can follow her on Twitter. Is it at Dr. Berman?
It's at Dr. Jen Berman. DrJennBerman.
On Twitter. So please follow her. And go to drjen.com, which is drjenn.com now, and look at the trailer for Couples Therapy on VH1. And now I'm going to go to more phone calls, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay, good. I like this. I barely have to work. It's fantastic. Let's go to Steve in Missouri. Hey, Steve, you're on the air.
Hey, ladies, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Okay, here's my situation. My girlfriend is literally what they call a dead fish. She doesn't initiate sex. When we do have sex, she's kind of laying there. So I was wondering what kind of advice can you all give me.
How long are you with her?
We've been together about a year and a half.
And has she ever had any kind of sexual trauma?
Not that I know of. She hasn't shared it with me, if she has.
Okay. And have you ever asked?
No, I never thought to ask.
When you say dead fish, do you mean it's like having sex with a corpse? Like, does she respond at all? Does she have orgasms? Do you know she's having a good time?
She doesn't have orgasms. And if she does, she's not showing anything. She's not showing any type of movement or anything.
And this has been for a year and a half?
And now, What about when you talk about sex? I have a feeling she's uncomfortable with that. Have you talked about it?
I'll ask her, you know, is everything okay? Are you enjoying it? And she just says, I'm fine, and that's it.
Yeah. And do you know if she ever masturbates?
I don't think she does.
Okay. Yeah,
I think I may have mentioned that one time, and she said something like it was nasty or something.
Aw.
It is not.
Aw, poor girl. This sounds like a woman who just has some sexual hang-ups, and it sounds like probably very early on in her life that she got the idea that sex is bad or dirty or something, and, you know, sometimes it comes from homes that are super religious, or sometimes parents that just have their own hang-ups about sex, but this sounds like someone who, that this is a deeper, more significant issue, and this is someone who's uncomfortable with her own body and her own sexuality, and unfortunately there isn't a quick fix for that. That's something that really should be explored in therapy, but in terms of you as her partner, I think that you need to help her to understand that sex is beautiful, that her body is beautiful, that the idea that her touching herself is not okay, but somehow you touching her is okay. She needs to take ownership of her body and her sexuality.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the call, and I hope she's able to get some help.
Good luck.
Yeah, it's such a shame for her to not be able to enjoy that part of her life.
It is a shame, but this is what I don't understand about relationships, or about that you get into a relationship with somebody. If from the get-go it's not working in that way, why have it carry on for a year and a half?
Because probably it's working in other ways.
Okay.
You know, it's like if it's working just enough, mm-hmm. people stay in.
And they get hopeful that the rest will fall into
place. And also, it's kind of like we were talking about earlier, it takes men longer to attach.
Mm-hmm.
So once they attach, they tend to hold on.
Right, because we attach so quickly.
Yes.
I know.
Overnight.
I think my husband used to, I'm joking, but he used to call me an albatross. Uh-huh. I mean, because it was fast. I mean, now it's 17 years, but back then. Hey, Lynn, you're on the air.
Hi. I actually talked to Dr. Jen earlier this week. My husband's a sex addict and has, I just wondered if you thought, Dr. Jen, that the progression of the sex addiction was any indication of recovery or relapse.
What do you mean the progression of addiction for him personally or in general?
I guess kind of more in general. The other women in my group, their husbands are attracted to porn, and that's what they do is online porn. My husband started that way a long time ago, but it progressed into prostitutes and BDSM people, you know, bondage, mm-hmm. dominance, that kind of stuff. So
sure.
I just wondered if that progression was an indication of, you know, relapse or how long it would take to recover, or do those people recover?
Well, typically when something is untreated, it does tend to get worse and worse, especially when it comes to addictive or compulsive behavior. So it doesn't surprise me. That's kind of one of the hallmarks of addiction, you know, and I think I mentioned to you before, there's
Thanks
always that
calling,
sort of
Lynn.
Debate on whether it's addiction or compulsivity. But I think that what you're seeing is someone who's untreated. And really the bottom line is
he needs treatment.
He has to have treatment, ideally a 12-step program and therapy.
Let me go to Jeff in Illinois because we don't have much time. And Jeff, Tell me your issue. You're married but having no sex?
Right. Been married almost 34 years, and the last year and a half, two years, we haven't been intimate at all.
And is she going through menopause?
Yeah.
Okay. You need to be patient and you need to be supportive, and also to keep in mind that typically in order to want sex, women tend to need to feel loved and adored, whereas you guys tend to need to have sex to feel loved. So I would focus right now on helping her to feel adored and being patient while she goes through this medically and supporting her. And then when you get to the other side, you're going to have a woman who feels close and connected to you and who's going to want to have a lot of sex.
Did you hear what Dr. Jen just said was key? She said men need sex to feel loved and adored. We need to feel loved and adored to have sex and to want sex.
That's kind of what we're doing. But she's talking about now, or she's ordered some hormone pills.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean?
I would not order hormone pills off the internet. She needs to work with a doctor. She needs to work with her gynecologist, and she needs to make sure she's getting proper medical treatment that can do more harm than good. This is not something that she should be self-prescribing.
Thanks for calling, but I think it's a great sign that she wants to get help.
I agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Okay, so now we're almost out of time. I have to tell you, you're an adorable girl, Dr. Jen Berman.
You're very adorable, too.
If you've never seen her, you guys, go online at drjen.com, drjenn.com, and definitely check out Couples Therapy on VH1 starting October 3rd at 10 p.m. East, 10 p.m. West, 9 p.m. the middle of the country. What do you call that?
Central.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I get stuck with certain things like that. And follow her on Twitter at Dr. Jen Berman. Yeah, just
DrJennBerman. And I'm also on Facebook under the same Dr. Jen Berman.
Okay, all across the board. That's great. And thanks, everybody, for listening. I'll be back on Monday. And Monday, I'm going to have to play the Lauren Dane thing because I need to do that. And please go to JustJenny.com. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye.
Yay.